the official broadcast partner of your AFC West champion, Kansas City Chiefs. Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome in the Chiefs Central here on Sports Radio 810. I'm Josh Abrisco with you for the next hour, getting you everything that you may have missed in the world of Chiefs today, especially everything that happened out at training camp. There were a few highlights, a few lowlights, some things we will talk about here today. Also, some really interesting stuff from a whole array of guys, including new offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy, who spoke today. We'll get to him in a little bit as well. The biggest news from the AFC West came from outside of Kansas City, though, and I want to start there for just a second. Chargers cornerback Jason Verrett tore his Achilles, and he is out for the season. The Chargers have already lost two big pieces of this team, first being Hunter Henry, their number one tight end and one of their main offensive weapons this year, and then now one of their top corners. This is going to be a thing that I think we're going to see evolving now as we go, where guys talk themselves into the Chiefs winning the AFC West because the Chargers continue to have the worst luck I've ever seen for a franchise whenever it comes to injuries. And this is an instance twice now where it was Henry in mini camps, now Verrett doing a conditioning drill. It's been just a decade of luck like this for the Chargers, and it's not stopping this year. Maybe that will be the end of their bad luck, but one way or another, I've been saying for a while now that I think the Chiefs are the best team in this division, and I think that this is only another notch in their belt. Doesn't really make any sense, but it's another piece in their favor, I guess I'll say. Now, the NFL is always a little bit of a war of attrition. Who can stay healthy? Can you stay healthy? How long can you stay healthy? What does healthy even mean? But the Chargers seem to have the absolute worst luck with that, and the Chiefs are building the sort of depth, in some positions at least, where a short-term injury to one of those guys on the offense wouldn't be that big of a deal. You lose Sammy Watkins for a couple games, and Tyreek Hill for a couple others. I don't feel like this offense is playing a now, like, lesser style of their offense. Of course, a long-term injury to one of those guys, or Travis Kelce goes down, or Patrick Mahomes goes down, or Eric Berry goes down again, Justin Houston. Every team in the league is vulnerable to things like that. It's really hard to lose Tom Brady and then still win the division with Matt Cassel. But the Chiefs are structured in a way that's making me feel like a short-term injury at a couple of positions may not be a world-ender. But the Chargers keep getting some of the most vital positions and some of their most vital players being knocked out for the entire season. And so as we sort of see people reevaluating who fits in where in this division, the Chargers still have a pass rush that, unless Joey Bosa gets hurt, is going to demand real respect on a day-to-day basis, and also whenever it comes to who you think is the best in this division. But as you see, the Chargers, the other real contender with the Chiefs for this division this year, the Raiders to a much lesser extent, and the Broncos to an even lesser extent than that. And they're better off this year with Case Keenum than they were last year with Paxton Lynch fighting with Brock Osweiler, no question. But with any number of pieces of logic you may be able to follow any of those places, I think you ultimately get back to looking at the Chiefs and the Chargers being the supposed favorite and the Chiefs being the supposed sexy sleeper pick. I've been making the arguments for the Chiefs for a while. You may remember me making the arguments for why the Chiefs make the playoffs even if you don't have them winning the division. And that argument was largely by necessity for people that think that the Chargers are somewhat of a shoe-in. They're not. They're increasingly less of that now as time goes on. And I have no reason to pull back on any of my optimism whenever it comes to the Chiefs. I feel pretty good about it on a whole number of levels. And even with some of the major changes, I look at this offense in an extremely optimistic light, and that's even with some turnover, some significant turnover. Now, Andy Reid lost Doug Peterson, and then the offense caught up, and then it was Matt Nagy, and now the Chiefs have lost Matt Nagy, and they go to Eric Bieniemy. Bieniemy is interesting because he was the running backs coach. Usually, with guys who have taken over the offensive coordinator spot as someone else has been sent off of the Andy Reid tree, then the next quarterback's coach takes over. But in this case, and Mike Kafka will probably eventually be an offensive coordinator for an Andy Reid team or for a guy who used to be a coordinator for Andy Reid. But in this instance, whenever Nagy left and he was the main quarterback's guy, and now he, as being, well, he was also the offensive coordinator. Now, with him being in Chicago, working with Mitch Trubisky, it was Eric Bieniemy who was the most logical guy to step up, even though he was the running backs coach, which is, again, a little bit different. But Eric Bieniemy spoke at training camp today, and he's one of the more interesting, under-the-radar topics that I haven't even thought about for a large portion of this offseason, as we have turned over every stone throughout this extremely long offseason. But he spoke at camp today, giving us a bunch of insight into a lot of great questions. And he started off answering a question about how he's been looking forward to the first days of training camp.
Well, you always look forward to that first day. Why? You get to put the pads on. You get to be a little physical. And obviously, you just want to see how guys handle that. And so it's all a part of the process. We just want to keep grinding, keep building, and keep evaluating.
What's the dynamic like having an offensive coordinator who doesn't coach the position? Over the years, people have said, oh, you need to have that. And all we've heard from people who know you is that doesn't matter to you.
You know what? Being in this position, it's actually a unique position because I get to touch every position on the offensive side of the ball. I get to sit with the O-line, get to spend a lot of time with the quarterbacks. I still feel I'm a part-time running back coach. Spend some time with the tight ends and receivers. So it's a unique situation to be in because I get to watch all the guys work. And then on top of that, just the evaluation process and seeing the coaches work and seeing the players detail the little things that we're coaching.
Are there specific things you're looking for Pat to improve on every day as opposed to just a generic improvement?
Well, I say it like this. The generic improvement is the improvement that we look for each and every day. It's always about the little things. We always want each and every one of our players focusing on the details, focusing on the mechanics and the fundamentals that we need to be at our best to help us to play. Now, will he have some growing pains? Yes. But it's okay. But sometimes without no bad luck, we wouldn't have any good luck at all. He can live and learn and study from learning from the things that he didn't execute the proper way.
Eric, the running back group is obviously one of the more competitive here. How do you begin to tackle what's going to be really some tough cuts at that position?
Well, today is just the second day. We're going to watch these guys compete. Now, obviously, there's a good number of backs here that we have. We're very, very blessed and fortunate. But we just want to see these guys compete each and every day. And without competition, it won't bring out the best. So we want to see the best from each and every one every single day.
My only other thing is, when it comes to the dynamic with Mahomes, so from Reed to you to Kafka to Mahomes, can you just kind of open the door on what that dynamic is like and how that works for you guys?
You know what? That dynamic is very unique. Coach Reed have always had it work that way, where he's involved, the quarterback coach and the offensive coordinator. We all sit there, we study together, we over-communicate with one another. Obviously, Mike Kafka is doing an outstanding job. He's doing a tremendous job coaching all the quarterbacks. But the communication goes without saying, and I learned this being married now for 23 years, communication is the key to success. So we do an outstanding job of making sure that we're always on the same page.
We've seen a few picks from Pat. What does he have to do to eliminate that?
Well, the good thing is that we get an opportunity to go upstairs and watch the tape. So now we can take a broad picture to see exactly why it happened. Now, obviously, we don't want to turn over the ball, but sometimes things happen. And like I always tell them, play the next play. You know, we're not worried about what happened. We want to see how you're going to handle the next play, how well you handle the adversity moving forward. That's all that matters.
Back to the running backs for a minute. This year's group, how does it compare to previous groups you've had in terms of depth and talent?
I would say this, ever since I've been here, we've always had a very unique group of runners here. And this group here, and I probably said this each and every year, I think the talent pool has gotten deeper. And I look forward to it because why? It brings out the best in each and every player. So looking forward to watching them guys work each and every day, and looking forward to seeing them compete and not taking anything for granted. That's what excites me about that.
You fear you might be cutting some guys who end up playing for other teams?
Today is the second day that we've been here with the varsity group. So, obviously, cuts happen. I'm not even looking past that. The only thing I'm looking forward to right now, okay, is getting together with these guys this afternoon and taking a look at the tape, dissecting it, and making the corrections that are needed moving forward.
Eric, you'd have faith in Pat even if he didn't play the Denver game last year, but I wonder how the perception of him might change. What do you think that experience meant to you guys and to him?
Well, first and foremost, Pat had a unique opportunity, as we've said this before, to work behind an Alex Smith. He watched Alex grind as a professional in early, staying late, and studying. He learned all that professionalism sitting in that room with Matt Nagy, also with the number of quarterbacks that he's worked with, and also including Coach Kafka. So the experience level, it comes. He's learned a lot throughout that period of time. And so he's just taking it day by day by day. He's a competitive kid. He loves to compete. The thing that I always tell him, just be poised under pressure, go play. We'll do the best that we can on that play. And you know what? The next play becomes the most important play.
Okay, do you feel like he gained that in a certain way from that game? I mean, just in a different feeling he would have coming in this year?
He's gained a tremendous amount of confidence from that game because why? He went out there and played on a high level against a pretty good defense. And you know what? He went out there and he performed. So now, hey, he gets to start over, he gets to do it again.
What did that game do for your confidence in him?
Well, watching him play in college and knowing what we did to draft him, we already knew that we don't have much confidence in his ability to perform at a high level. We just got to make sure that he's consistent through his habits, making sure he understands not to take anything for granted.
Last one, Matt.
How do you feel like Sammy's addition to wide receiver core affects what you guys are able to do or how you use that?
You know what? We got a great group of guys. I tell you what, the addition of Sammy with Tyreek, with Chris Conley, I mean, the Anthony Thomas, the Marcus Robinson. I mean, there's a number of guys in that group who bring a tremendous wealth of experience. But also that group is a hardworking group. And one thing I respect about that group, they hold each other accountable. So one thing Sammy's learning, he's learning how to do it our way. Sammy is a heck of a player. He is. But you know what? He's learning how to do it our way, and those guys got great chemistry together. And it's going to be something really to look forward to moving forward.
Last one, Matt.
With Parker Anger back there, left guard, what do you feel like he is development-wise, and what does he bring to that position?
You know, one thing with our old lineman, you know, coach has it saying, we're going to put the five best guys up there. So we want to see those guys compete. You know, Parker hasn't done it in a while. It's good to see him back out there. He's been busting his tail to get back, you know, in the football shape like he needs to be. And he's doing a great job so far. So we're looking forward to just watching his progress each and every day and just basically watch how he adjusts over time.
That's new offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy talking at training camp today. A few interesting things in there. The one thing that is kind of interesting, and this, I think, largely goes through the entire room right now, the entire coaching staff right now, from Reed to Bieniemy to Bob Sutton, there aren't a whole lot of super definitive statements. And I understand why that is, because most coaches don't want to give a definitive statement, because if they say, yes, definitive thing, and then that ends up being wrong or arguable, or they say something definitively different later, then they're going to come back and say, well, wait a second, you said that Damian Williams was the best pass catcher out of this backfield, so why did you cut him? Like, I understand why the vagueness is important to a head coach, that, you know, their main job is not to give us good sound bites. Why in radio you get some more definitive answers from all of us gas bags, because that is what we're doing. And then if we're wrong, then we're wrong, and we have to deal with that then, and we'll say something definitively different an hour later. But if you're a coach, you're just trying to say things that get you through the press conference, maybe educate the press a little bit. It seems like Brett Veach likes doing that, which I obviously appreciate, because Brett Veach knows more about football than I do. But all that being said, it's got to be an interesting dynamic again, and this is something that has been true in any offensive coordinator that's been under Andy Reid. This has been true, but Bieniemy, because he's coming from the running backs position, it's interesting being the offensive coordinator and not being the offensive authority. Again, that's been true in years past for the Chiefs and for Andy Reid all over the place. And I'm glad that he has an offensive coordinator that knows the team and that knows all of the inner workings and everything, because Andy Reid does not need to be the head coach and the offensive coordinator and doing the play calls and doing, you know, all sorts of things where eventually it's just too many jobs for one guy. Brilliant as Andy Reid may be, he can't do every job. He needs to delegate. Everybody in power needs to delegate. And so I would imagine that Andy Reid is totally convinced and totally confident that Bieniemy can take on the tasks assigned to him. It's just interesting looking at this team and looking at the modern NFL and having your running backs coach promoted to your offensive coordinator. Now, also, we're in a little bit of a different situation, I think, with the Chiefs right now, because it seems like Mike Kafka is another huge part of this coaching staff from a quarterback's perspective. He was around a lot last year, learning under Matt Nagy a little bit, I suppose, because I think Nagy was technically the offensive coordinator and technically the quarterback's coach, but Kafka was getting a larger role in that. And obviously the biggest thing for the Chiefs this year is Patrick Mahomes. So if Bieniemy and Kafka, if Bieniemy is doing, you know, a little bit with Mahomes, but he is really handling all these other position groups mostly, and then Kafka's really dealing with the quarterbacks and Andy Reid's looking over all those guys, I think that's a structure that can absolutely work. I just think it's a really unique one. I don't mean to say that it's good or bad. I don't know. I find it terribly interesting. And I'm curious to see how that communication process goes throughout the rest of the year, I guess throughout the year in general, because we're like 2 days into the year, I suppose. But that's Eric Bieniemy talking today, one of the more interesting guys in this organization right now. But there are a lot of interesting ones, including Tyreek Hill, Mitchell Schwartz, Dustin Colquitt, and Chris Jones. We'll hear from all of those guys in the next 40 minutes or so here on Chiefs Central on Sports Radio 810. Welcome back to Chiefs Central here on Sports Radio 810. I'm Josh Abrisco, recapping everything that happened today at Chiefs training camp. Some action, some news from a handful of different guys. David Amerson picked off Patrick Mahomes today, which is a phrase that just shakes me to my very, very core. A phrase of absolute horror and dismay, because I'm not terribly confident in David Amerson, but maybe that's a good thing about David Amerson. I also just don't want Patrick Mahomes doing anything bad in training camp. That's one of the difficult things. You know, like, hey, do you want your offense or your defense to look good in training camp? Because if one looks good, it means the other one looks bad, right? I just want Patrick Mahomes to look good. That's all. Everything else will fall into place. Tyreek Hill has looked good in camp today, these last 2 days, and also for the last season or so. And we just heard from Eric Bieniemy, the Chiefs' new offensive coordinator. If you missed that, you can go grab the Chiefs Central podcast at 810WHP.com. Go over to additional programming and check it out. But we heard from Eric Bieniemy, and Tyreek Hill started off today by talking about Eric Bieniemy and what he's seeing from him working with the whole offense instead of just the running backs.
The thing about Eric B is, I mean, he's obviously a tough guy. He's hard on everybody, no matter who the guy is, you know what I'm saying? So he's always going to be hard on every guy and push every guy to the limit. Trying to make each and every guy on the offense better.
How has he been hard on you? What's he said?
Just work like a pro. You know what I'm saying? Come in every day and work hard. You know, like, don't take no days off. You know, because, like, everybody want to make the team and everybody want to be great. But the great ones don't take days off. So, that's what he said.
You feel like you needed that advice?
I mean, always, you know? I mean, I feel like sometimes, like, all of us sometimes, like, get complacent sometimes and we do need, like, some words from, like, guys who have been through it or seen it all and stuff like that. So I think, like, those words from him were great for me.
Harry, what did you do with your time off this last few weeks?
What do I do with my time off? I just chill, you know, just hang out. That's it. Just hang out.
Were you here?
Yeah, I was in Kansas City. Just hang out.
You interacted with a lot of the fans just at events we saw. What do you think the fans think about this football team? What they say to you about it?
Oh, man, the fans love the football team, especially with Pat. You know what I'm saying? At the Ham, You know, I mean, fans are ecstatic, you know, and everybody just can't wait for the season. So I'm excited. My teammates are excited, and we can't wait to get rolling.
Larry, even dating back to your high school and college days, have you ever had a quarterback that could truly hit you in stride when you're under fire or something like that? Did you find that maybe that's coming out?
Nah. I mean, I still don't think, Pat can hit me in stride for real, you know? Nah, let me stop. I haven't. You know, Pat is probably the first quarterback I played with, you know, who has had the arm strength. And that's not taken away from none of the quarterbacks I played with, but, Pat is like something special.
Do you almost feel like that's a match that kind of was meant to happen?
Yes, it was. That's obviously, why he's here, you know? So I'm happy, he's happy, and everybody else is happy.
Last year we had a chance to ask you when the Madden rankings came out. Had a chance to go there and talk to you. They came out, you're the only one with the 98, the fastest player in Madden. You feel like that's right now?
I am happy about being the fastest, but I feel like I'm supposed to have 100 speed. You know, Devin Hester had 100, and I'm faster than Devin Hester. Nothing against Devin Hester, but I feel like I'm faster than Devin Hester, so I should have 100 speed.
You guys had Sammy Watkins this year to that wide receiver room. How much do you guys like to compete on the side, not just to practice, but just on the side, with pushing each other to get better?
Oh, man, that's everything we do. You know, every day we come out here, we always talk about pushing each other and competing within each other, you know, trying to catch the most balls in one day, trying to make a DB fall or something like that. So, like, that's what it's all about, like coming out here, having fun, and competing with your brothers, you know?
Once you guys get into the season, his addition changes what your role is or how you might be able to get used?
Oh, nah, man. For me, it's still going to be the same, you know? I'm still going to be the guy, who's going to make, like, the big plays, and Sammy going to be the guy who make big plays also. We got, like, what it takes, you know what I'm saying, to go all the way. So I feel like with the addition of Sammy helps us, you know what I'm saying, like, not only me, but Kelsey, Kareem, you know what I'm saying, because, like, we got more weapons on the field now. So
is there a part of with those more weapons where does it become, a thought of you might maybe get fewer balls your direction just because you have so many more guys now?
None of us are selfish, you know? All of us want to win. So, we already talked about it as an offense, and we already know what we want, and, like, we already know what's at hand. So we just want to win, man. That's it.
Yeah, 2 years, 2 Pro Bowls. You said numerous franchise records. I think everybody in the league knows who you are now. How do you stay? What's the foundation of your motivation that keeps you going? You're training in the offseason. There's nobody looking over your shoulder. Just where do you get the motivation to keep it moving?
I feel like for me, my biggest motivation is my son. You know, I feel like each and every day, I owe it to him and also my parents. So, I was raised by good parents and they taught me a lot. I'm very fortunate enough to have my grandparents still alive, like to teach me, the ways and keep me humble and keep me grounded, like each and every day. So, I'm blessed. So I just got to keep going from there and keep proving people right. Just keep doing everything that this organization has given me a chance to.
A couple more guys. You dance a lot on the field. You the best dancer on the team?
Of course I'm the best dancer, man. You got to see my hips, man. I got the best hips, man, in the receiver room. So.
Who's the second best dancer?
The second best dancer. I got to give it to D-Rock for real.
Kelsey?
Kelsey, he got some move, but I'm talking receiver room.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking receiver room.
Terry, recently you did a web video, and one of the questions had to do with wanting to stay in Kansas City. You were like, Kansas City is my city. Do you see yourself wanting to retire as a Kansas City Chief, like a long-term thing about?
Yeah, I do for real. I kind of got acclimated here. It's fun. I love the city. People are chill. People are nice. You know what I'm saying? I love the environment. I live in a nice town. You know what I'm saying? I'm surrounded by nice neighbors, so I love it, man. My family loves it, so I love Kansas City.
It's Tyreek Hill during training camp today. That wide receiver room is psycho, man. Not like head cases, but like it's insane that all of those guys are in there. It's just remarkable. This team's third and fourth receivers are Chris Conley and DeMarcus Robinson. Like, remember whenever they drafted Chris Conley, and even when they drafted DeMarcus Robinson, like, we are always, as Chiefs fans and analysts and fanalists, we're always talking ourselves into the second, third, fourth, fifth round draft pick developing into the next number one receiver, a top 10 receiver in the league, whatever. Everybody, all the time. And it is just so ridiculous now to look at this depth chart. And Matt Derrick, who was on Sports Night earlier tonight with me for a little while and then with Cody for a while, he tweeted earlier today that the Chiefs had Kelce, and I'm not even mentioning Travis Kelce yet, they had Kelce, Hill, and Conley lined up on one side of the field, and then over it trips on one side, and then on the offside, the other side of the field, just the dude on his own, is Sammy Bleeping Watkins. You cannot stop that. It's just completely absurd. And so Conley, you know, again, he was a third-round draft pick. And third-round draft picks, all the way up to John Baldwin, but I think that was fair. But we would take third-round draft picks, fourth-round draft picks, whatever. And we, as Chiefs fans, largely try to convince ourselves that that guy is about to develop. He's about to have his breakout season. And most of the time, third-round receivers just sort of stay third-round receivers. Jehu Cheston, I think it was fourth or fifth, he's going to be a special teamer. DeMarcus Robinson has some nice traits. He's going to be probably going to be a four or five. Conley's probably a three in an ideal situation. And the Chiefs have that ideal situation. It's incredible. Where they have Kelce, Hill, and Watkins all catching passes before anybody else. Kareem Hunt's going to catch a lot of passes out of the backfield. Now you're at four. And your fifth and sixth pass catchers are Chris Conley and DeMarcus Robinson. Those are the roles those guys can thrive in. DeMarcus Robinson might have a hard time getting on the field. Chris Conley will get playing time, but it'll be as Jason Avant. Maybe he gets, you know, 400 yards this year or whatever. And that's fantastic. That's the place to be. On the other side of the ball, the heat is a little less strong, but there are still some really good position groups there, and also some good personalities, Chris Jones being chief among them, no pun intended. And he spoke today at training camp, and he started off by talking about the brace that he was wearing on his knee today, a concern to many.
Mainly for support, dealing with the injury last year. I just think it's safety precaution that I wear a brace the rest of the year.
Does it make you feel better?
I mean, you know, whatever they prefer, you know, I just try to do it for my best interest.
Chris, a lot of new faces on defense this year. How are you guys gelling as a unit and working together to get better?
Oh, man, it's good for us. You know, the competition level, we got a lot of great guys. Dealing with young guys, Nadi and D-Ladder, and brought some new faces in. We brought Jarvis Jenkins back. So the competition level is high, and that's what we want around here. We want to create a high competition level group of guys that want to get after it.
You tweeted about your conditioning test. Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah. I actually haven't been to a team camp in 2 years. Last year I dealt with a meniscus tear. Unfortunately, I wasn't out here. I finally did the conditioning test that I killed it yesterday. And I think I was more surprised than the team because I didn't know that I could still run 15 and a half gasters. So it kind of surprised me. I felt good about it.
What's your initial thoughts on
Nadi, D-line,
and
D-backs? Breaking them alone, you know, getting them to pace, you know. We got a lot of young guys, and we're going to have to use them during the season. So we want to get them on board, get them to our speed, get them competing day in and day out because, you know, it's a huge transition from college into the NFL. And, you know, it's a lot to work with. So, you know, bring those guys along, showing them the ropes, and getting them on board.
What are you trying to show guys like Derrick off the field about being prepared for this next step in their career?
More so is mental. You know, there's a lot of things that carry off the field and on the field, so you got to balance those out. You know, young guys, they don't know what to expect when you first get here because it's everywhere. You know, you have meetings, you have practice, more meetings, and, you know, you got to find a way to stay balanced. And I try to give them that balance on through everything.
Well, you know, Chris, with all the sub packages now, you play a lot of two-man fronts. And it seems like you really thrived in that last year. You like, you know, playing in that two-man look? And, you know, how's it different than when you have a three-man
It's a little different. A three-man is more so base front. Two-man is more so sub. More so two-man is mostly passing downs. And I like to get after the quarterback. And, you know, most of the time we go three-man, it's more so a run. So I kind of like to get after the quarterback. I enjoy the three-man, but I love the two-man.
Do you have a sack goal this year?
Lead the NFL. You know, I've been talking about it all summer, and, you know, I've been voicing it to my teammates, and just I want to lead the NFL in sacks. You know, I believe that wholeheartedly, and, you know, you got to speak it in to believe it.
Can you spend your time off before camp?
Especially with my kids and rehabbing, man. Unfortunately, during the playoffs, I had an injury. My break was cut short. Right after OTAs, I went to Miami and started training. And right after training, I went to see my kids. You know, I have two beautiful kids, a 5-month-old and a 2-year-old. So just watch them grow, man. I see so much of myself. It's amazing.
You able to watch Paw Patrol up here?
Oh, man. That's like the everyday show now. You know, I get up in the morning. I have to wake up at 7 when I'm at home because my 2-year-old, he trained himself to wake up at 8 o'clock no matter when. You know, we actually went to bed at 4. I thought I can make him sleep a little later, but at 8 o'clock, he's waking me up ready for Paw Patrol and his meal. So it's like becomes a habit, Paw Patrol and Puppy Pal. So that's part of my lifestyle now.
A couple more guys.
You mentioned, even before him, I think you included the hardness of leaving family and coming to camp. With your experience on the league now, what's it like, say, as a rookie coming to training camp and the excitement and understanding what it's like to go from one setting of family to this where obviously football all day?
Yeah, like I said, the balance, man. You got to learn how to balance yourself out because it can be hard. You know, my first year here, being away from my family that long, I actually went to school in Mississippi State. I live 30 minutes from Mississippi State, so I was able to go home whenever. And just being able 8 hours away from home, I had to learn to find my balance, learn to take myself out of that phase and get focused on football.
What do you tend to like most about training camp when, obviously, more teams are not – sort of going that route, they're staying closer to their home facility?
Well, we get away from everything. This is a moment where we can all come together. It's only football. You know, it's not much to do in Missouri Western here. The campus is kind of empty, so it's just us. It brings us closer. I think as a D-lineman, it brings the D-line closer. You know, it makes us communicate more, bring us more of a brotherhood.
Chris, do you guys think you have the personnel be able to accomplish? Everybody said they want to get to the Super Bowl. This team has offensive talent, everybody thinks. Defensively, are you guys good enough to get there?
Of course we are. I mean, you look at the talent we have on defense. Think of Brett Beach and Coach Reed, the amount of talent, the group of guys they brought in to this. From starting from our safety, Eric Berry, Justin Houston, D Ford, you know, Alan Bailey, just those group of guys. And you bring young guys in that loves to compete. You know, it makes us better. You know, it's all about competition around here, competing day in and day out. So, you know, we challenge each other every day, and that's what we like to have around here, you know. People that are going to go out, balls to the wall, and challenge every day.
Last one. Chris, this year you're kind of a school person from Mosaic Life Care, I heard. What have you been doing with some of the high school students in the area at camp?
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to be the spokesperson for Mosaic. I'm thankful of that. You know, I get to meet the high school team right after this, and you know, it's a fortunate opportunity, and I'm very thankful of it.
It's Chris Jones, training camp today. I think the main nugget in there, we should all agree, is that his kids love Paw Patrol. As far as kids shows go, Paw Patrol seems to be a pretty solid one. I can't deal with... Oh, man.
More than one.
Beards is here, by the way. Hi, Beards.
Hi.
What's the one that you're thinking of? There's a specific one that I cannot.
I mean, there's the obvious answer of Caillou.
Oh no, that is a Hall of Fame terrible kid show. That Caillou will teach your kids to be a nightmare child. No, there's a recent one though that's on all the time. I feel like the name of it is just like an onomatopoeia, where it's just like a sound spelled out or something. I can picture one of the characters. I'm trying to make sure that's the actual one that is so loathsome. Well, let's do this. While we look up the show that is... Do you have something, Beards?
Well, see, I just remember there was a Deadspin series they do. It's Why Your Television Series Sucks.
Yes.
And there was a Paw Patrol one.
Paw Patrol's fine.
But it's, I just went there for sourcing. There's Daniel Tiger's neighborhood.
No.
Let's see.
Yo, Gabba Gabba.
Oh, get out of here.
I told you it was an onomatopoeia. Nailed it. Yo, Gabba Gabba can Yo, Gabba go to hell.
I feel like that was an older one.
Well, my sister's 9 now, and so that was a while ago. Curious George, underrated.
Oh, 2007, okay.
Also, there's another one that just sort of like, it says, it sounds like nothing. I think it was called Boo Bah on PBS. Yes, that show also, acid trip can go to hell.
Teletubbies.
That's better than Boo Bah. Boo Bah bumped something that I liked when I was little. I can't remember what it was. Boo Bah apparently came out in like 2003. And man, that was 2003. I was watching PBS like every day. I was 21.
You watch Cyber Chase?
Freaking loved Cyber Chase.
Cyber Chase was the best.
Loved Cyber Chase. You did step on my joke. I forgive you because you're bringing up Cyber Chase. I think Cyber Chase is like the GOAT. There are a couple of PBS shows that are pretty good. There was the one about like the Siamese cat, and Arthur was good. What was the Siamese Cat show?
Siamese Cat Kids Show.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't think so.
Siamese Cat Kids Show. It's one word. It's a name. It starts with an S.
Sagwa.
Sagwa.
The Chinese Siamese Kid. I'd never heard of this.
Yeah, that show was solid. Wow, it only aired for a year. That thing ran in reruns for all of time.
I never watched this. I never heard of it.
Season 1 had 40 episodes. Good lord. Oh, I said that Cyber Chase may be the GOAT, but Zaboomafoo is a thing that existed. That was tremendous. Also, Dragon Tales.
Nah.
Fantastic.
I'm going to have to go with, where is it? Wishbone. You got to throw in Wishbone.
Oh, Wishbone.
Wishbone was amazing.
I forgot about Wishbone. You're listening to Chiefs Central here on Sports Radio 810, where we talk all Chiefs, nothing but the Chiefs. All Chiefs, the whole Chiefs, and nothing but the Chiefs. So help us God. Whenever we come back, we'll get on track and we'll talk about, we'll hear from Mitchell Schwartz and also Dustin Colquitt, two other guys who spoke at camp today. I'm Josh Briscoe. That's Peter McFly. This is Chiefs Central. Liberty's Kids was amazing. We could do a whole show on the shows that we watched, as kids.
We'll probably do that Monday.
45 minutes ago. I'll write it down for Monday. Over on Almost Entirely Sports and ESPN Kansas City. Thanks, Beards. Beards and I are both over there every day from 4 to 6 p.m.
Ta-da!
1510 a.m., 94.5 FM. Just go to your podcast. If you just go find a podcast, listen to the podcast, we'll totally take that. It's also on the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page. So do that. We have a little bit of time. We're going to give you a little bit of both of these guys. Let's start, Beards, with Dustin Colquitt. Dustin Colquitt and Mitchell Schwartz both talked at camp today. We don't have quite enough time to get both of them in their entirety in today, but let's get you a little bit here of Dustin Colquitt. He started off by being asked about his personal goals for this year.
I mean, personally, it would probably be like an all-pro nod, but really, I mean, the biggest thing is winning that Super Bowl is the trophy. I look at every year as trying to keep return game for the other team dead, everything I can for Harrison, you know, make sure he feels comfortable with everything that we're doing beforehand so he can just think about himself and where he's going to put the ball. And so really we just got to focus on that. My dad told me when I came into the league the biggest compliment you can have is for Coach Reed or Dave Tobe to say, I know these guys are getting their work done, we don't have to even look over there. So I focus on doing that, is trying to get our work done and just trying to be the best that we can be. So, you know, the team, you know, has a three and out or just can't get it down, I can get them out of trouble. Or if they get down and they're stalling out and range for Harrison, he knows we're going to pick up 3 points.
How difficult has it been dealing with your brother with his ring and you not having a ring?
It's tough, especially after getting, you know, you think, you know, let me see the picture of it. I thought it was going to be like a picture of the ring in the box, and it was one of the and so then my dad has two, so I'm like the only male Colby now that doesn't have it in my family. So we're all under one roof. That starts kind of getting cranked up pretty hard. So I think we talked about it this training camp already, is that, you know, everybody's fighting time. So, you know, this year we're ready. We want to do that. That's everybody's goal. Rookies on in. I love hearing some of the rookies talk about, I'm glad I got here for the first 3 days, because then the run seemed, you know, a little bit easier. And then, you know, we get to, you know, they're already talking that way. So I like that. young guys talking like that, ready to go. And so we just got to put it all together and bring all of our talents to the table and try to get that trophy back into Kansas City.
It's a little taste of Dustin Colquitt from training camp today. Now let's do the same thing for Mitchell Schwartz. Also, eventually, I hope we get to it. I don't know. There was a whole lot of content here. I'd like to eventually hear him talking about his very food-heavy Twitter account, which is tremendous. Also, his wife operates an Instagram for their Pomeranian. Yes, I follow both of those accounts. He started today about being able to start camp with the whole offensive line present and healthy all together, unlike last year with a lot of injuries.
Yeah, it's big. I mean, you know, I think since I've been here, it's the most experienced offensive line we've had. And like I said, it's pretty much all the same guys coming back. So it's been good. You know, you just gain so much experience playing with the guy next to you. And it gets to a point where you just understand each other, you know, whether it's how your bodies work and, you know, kind of not stepping on each other. That's a common thing with guys who haven't played together is, you know, just the footwork. There's a limited amount of space. And then the next level stuff is more kind of the things you don't have to talk about on the field, the things that kind of intrinsically trust the guy next to you will be there. And, on this, you know, certain look that you're seeing something at the snap and you're trusting that he's seeing it with you and you kind of make a good decision together on the run. So definitely a huge benefit.
Not to take anything away from Cam Irving, but what is Mitch Morrison, who started last year, what is his presence back in particular?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, excited for him to be back. You know, last year was tough for him, you know, getting hurt so early in the season, coming back, and, you know, I think you can see it didn't really feel as good as he wanted it to, and so getting that fixed and, you know, just feeling more like himself again, and that's exciting. Yeah, it's a great thing for our offensive line, like you said. I mean, he's an experienced guy that's been a center for a few years, and he knows how to run this offense. He knows what we want. I mean, obviously with Pat's doing a really good job with kind of assuming all the calls and all those things, but being able to help out when you need to with the young guy, and, you know, the rest of us being experienced, we can help out too. And so it's really a team effort in every single play.
You become one of the better right tackles in the NFL, the All-Pro, things like that. How do you stay sharp during the offseason? Make sure you kind of maintain that, you know, maybe try to go for first year this year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see myself like that as much. I kind of have a pessimistic view of things and probably the professionist aspect of always achieving. And, you know, the unfortunate part of playing with Joe Thomas for 4 years is seeing him do things pretty perfectly and look perfect. And, you know, there's games where you're graded out and you know, he'd have a perfect game and, you know, you get pretty close, you'd have two minuses, but he'd have a perfect game with perfect technique, which is pretty incredible. And so just being able to kind of see that model and just the way I tick, that's kind of the goal and that's what you strive for. And so, you know, I would say I'm nowhere near his level, and that's something that that I always attain or try to attain. So I think that's what motivates me. And, you know, as you go along, I mean, you get a second contract, you get accolades. I mean, that puts more pressure on you. There's no sense of satisfaction that you get paid or that you get praised. Now people are looking for you and expecting you to play as an all-pro and to be the best right tackle. So, you know, that just puts more pressure on you and really make sure that you focus and do your job.
Have you been a little bit of Mitchell Schwartz from training camp today? We're out of time for any more of him or any more of Dustin Colquitt. So my sincerest apologies to both of them. But if you missed any of the rest of the show, you can hear Tyreek Hill, Eric Bieniemy, Chris Jones all earlier on the show today. Also, you can hear me talk about how the Chargers continue to fall apart with injuries and open the door for another Chiefs AFC West title. I'm Josh Briscoe. Thanks, Beards McFly, for being here again tonight. You're listening to Chiefs Central. We'll be back on Monday night to talk about everything happening at Chiefs camp all the time. Bye, Mom!
Follow the Chiefs right here on your home for the NFL playoffs and the Super Bowl. Sports Radio 810 WHB.